It's time for Let's Talk with Brian Pettaway.
Good morning, happy Sunday, and welcome to Let's Talk. I am your host, Brian Pettaway, and like every week, I'll be with you for about an hour or so, and it is definitely the best hour of my week. I want to tell you right now, thank you so much for all of the well wishes and the congratulations that I got from the anniversary show that we did last week. If you did miss it, you can catch it on voiceswired.com, which is my website. Go to the Let's Talk tab, and you'll see all of the shows there from the most recent to the oldest listed there, and you can listen to it all over again. It was a great show. Like I said, I got a lot of positive feedback, and you know, it feels so good to know that you guys are listening, but not only listening, but you're praying for me, you're encouraging me, you're invested in my success, and so that makes me feel great, and some of that is paid off. Hopefully, I'll have an announcement for you next week on an opportunity that has come my way. I don't want to jinx it, so I'm not going to say anything today, but it could be big for me, so you know, keep your fingers crossed, keep me in your prayers like you have so far. You know, the other thing that struck me when I was preparing for that anniversary show, going back through old shows and picking up clips to put on that show, I noticed that most, if not all, of my shows are very serious, right? And there's nothing wrong with that because it's supposed to be an informative show. It's a talk show. But I also wanted to be entertaining and I want to have some fun. And I realized I didn't have a whole lot of fun in my talk shows last year. Well, today I'm going to change that. I'm going to change up. I've got somebody on the show who is internationally known as a comedian. He's also been in movies. My boy Sebo Cecil. I've known Cecil for about, I don't know, 30 years now. We did Serve together, and then he got out and he started doing some big things on the comedy stage and in movies. So he's going to be here today with me, and that should be funny. Now, I also may have a surprise guest with him. I don't know if you guys have heard of Charleston White. He is all over the internet. He's a very controversial figure. I think he's going to be with Sebo, so hopefully we can interview him as well as Sebo at the same time. I got to be honest, that might be a little dangerous. I'm going to see what I'll do about that one because that would be crazy. But we also have the Petty. The Petty's been riding with me for a year. He's been an integral part of the show. He's going to be here. The NFL season has started, so he's extremely happy. Listen, when you have a rough week, I'm going to clown you. When you have a great week, I'm going to applaud you. So, you know, he had a kind of a rough week, so I'm going to clown him a little bit, you know. So he'll be with me. And then, of course, you know, I do the news and I do commentary on the news like I always do. It's one of my favorite things to do ever. So, you know, I hope you're feeling great because I'm feeling great. I've got lots to talk about today. So let's get right to it. All right. Fox 45 is reporting that the Rules and Legislative Oversight Committee of the Baltimore City Council has voted to confirm Richard Worley as the next police commissioner of Baltimore. And that happened by way of a unanimous vote of 6-0. Baltimore Mayor Brandon Scott nominated Richard Worley for the position after Michael Harrison resigned. Worley talked about his Baltimore background during his introduction. He also said that he had seen police policies that worked and policies that have not worked during his time in the police department. He said that together, we can still create a safer Baltimore. The Board of Estimates was set to vote on Worley's contract on Thursday, but the meeting was postponed. Worley's contract, if he is confirmed, would include a $285,000 salary with a 3% annual increase and further incentives if crime in the city goes down. The contract also includes a monthly housing allowance of $1,000 for up to 6 months or until his Anne Arundel County home sells. Also, a woman carjacked by a group of children in Glen Burnie pulled a knife on the suspects after she drove them to Baltimore City, according to Anne Arundel County Police. The carjacking happened Tuesday evening at the Giant in the 6600 block of Ritchie Highway in Glen Burnie. The woman told police that she was in the parking lot of the grocery store when four or five boys demanded money and a ride to Baltimore. The woman initially refused, but then one of the boys pulled out a knife and pushed the woman into her vehicle. Police said the woman drove the children to Baltimore, at which point she pulled out her own knife and the children ran off. According to Mark Lemansky with the Anne Arundel County Police, the victim described the suspects as extremely young. The woman said that there were four or five young men aged from what she believes was 9 to 14 years old. The victim was able to get away in her car, and Anne Arundel County Police say the suspects could face several charges, including abduction. Now, under current Maryland juvenile law, 11-year-olds can only be charged for certain violent crimes. And in this case, no one was hurt. Anyone with any information is asked to call police at 410-222-6135 or the tip line at 410-222-4700. And of course, your identity can remain, will remain anonymous. You know, speaking of Maryland juvenile laws or juvenile justice laws in the state that are, I think, incredibly lax and cause a huge issue for Maryland lawmakers to do their job in prosecuting youngsters for doing, you know, crimes, our Mayor Brandon Scott held a media conference on Wednesday where he called for a total rebuild of the juvenile justice system. And this is my problem with the mayor. He says very vague things. He doesn't actually give any plans or details of any plans that he himself has come up with. There's no creative juices in him when it comes to solving a problem. So when specifically asked what he wants lawmakers to do when sessions begin in January, this is what he said.
I'll say what I said before anybody else was talking about this issue, right? Long before folks in the media were thinking that the state had anything to do with public safety in Baltimore, I said that we need a completely new system built from the ground up. The old system that we had didn't work. The systems that we have now clearly need work. Every single aspect of it, from the top to the bottom, must be looked at.
All right, and so here's the problem I have with that answer. It's the obvious. Everyone knows that the system does not work. Everyone knows that the old laws for juveniles doesn't work, and we know that the ones that are currently in existence don't work. Tell us something that we don't know. Give us some idea of what needs to be done. This is the mayor's city. These crimes that happen within the city that make this city unsafe, they fall under the mayor's watch. So you would think that he and his delegation, his cabinet, will come up with some bills, some laws, some ideas that they could present to lawmakers at the session that would help these lawmakers create laws that could better manage and govern juvenile crime. But that's not how this mayor operates. And that's the thing that drives me nuts. He's always very vague. There are two things that he does at every press conference. He either blames someone else for the problem, or he looks for someone else to figure out the solution. Or he does both. And it drives me nuts. That is not why he was elected. But that is exactly what he does. I mean, there's just something about this mayor's position where we can't win. We can't seem to find, elect, pick, whatever you want to call it, a winner. In this city, I don't know what it is, but we just can't seem to do it. In fact, it's so bad that Sheila Dixon, who was once the mayor in this city, has decided, it's been long enough. I'm going to run for mayor again. People will forget that in 2009, a jury found her guilty of embezzlement for misusing gift cards that had been donated to City Hall for charity. And instead of using them to serve the poor, Dixon spent about $500 at Target and Best Buy to purchase things for her family and staff with those gift cards. Now, she served 4 years probation and completed other requirements, and she was also barred from seeking political office for 2 years. But here's the thing that kills me. In her letter published two Thursdays ago in the Baltimore Sun, Dixon offered a fresh apology while stressing that her conviction was only a misdemeanor offense. Meaning, I only stole from the poor a little bit. And, you know, I'm all about grace and forgiveness. I just don't know if we need to put the whole city, especially the poor people in the city, in that kind of jeopardy while granting grace and forgiveness. I think we can forgive Sheila Dixon from a distance. Now, I will say this about Sheila Dixon. While she was the mayor of this city, crime was down significantly, as were arrests. I don't know what that means. I don't know why that is. But crime was definitely down. So if that is in fact the case, we have a choice. Do we choose between the person where crime is up, but as far as we know, there's no corruption within his office, as far as we know? Or do we choose the person that was corrupt, but crime was down? Are those our choices really? Like, is that the best that we have to offer in this city? I don't think so, but it's a sad state of affairs. And in other places in the country, NYPD officers uncovered a trapdoor hiding drugs during a new search of a Bronx daycare center, where a one-year-old died of fentanyl overdose. The latest development in an ongoing police investigation into an alleged fentanyl distribution operation run by the daycare. The secret door, which was located Wednesday in the middle of a playroom, held fentanyl, other narcotics, and drug paraphernalia. The search was a part of an ongoing investigation into the Divino Nino Daycare Center, which federal prosecutors now claim was used as a part of a conspiracy to distribute fentanyl. Police earlier found a kilo of fentanyl stored on top of a children's playmat, as well as a kilo press, a device used to package narcotics, according to a federal criminal complaint filed on Tuesday. Now, I don't know if people know, if most people know, but fentanyl is so strong that you don't have to swallow it, snort it, or shoot it in order for it to affect you. or to kill you. It's so strong that all you have to do is touch it. Just touch enough of it. And for a one-year-old, it doesn't take much for it to kill that baby. And so to have this kilo of fentanyl stored on top of play mats in a daycare center, anywhere really, but in particular, a daycare center around these children, I mean, I don't know how you forgive something like that. I mean, I really, really don't. All right, also in California, a federal judge for the second time overturned California's ban on large capacity ammunition magazines that can hold more than 10 bullets, ruling Friday that it lacked a historical basis and is therefore unconstitutional. U.S. District Judge Roger Benitez of San Diego, in a 71-page decision published Friday, wrote that this case is about a California state law that makes it a crime to keep and bear common firearm magazines typically possessed for lawful purposes. Based on the text, history, and traditions of the Second Amendment, this law is clearly unconstitutional. This ruling from Benitez, who had overturned the same ban in 2019 and is a darling of the political right for his record of rolling back gun control legislation, was widely expected. And the Attorney General of California, Rob Bonta's office, has already filed an appeal. But the reason why this is so important is that in the state of California, over 63% of the mass shootings that occur there happen when the perpetrators use weapons that have magazines that hold more than 10 bullets, enabling these mass shooters to continue to fire without having to stop and reload. And obviously, when you can do that, when you're not interrupted, you can continue to do damage. You can continue to take more lives without interruption, meaning you don't have to worry about stopping and then being overtaken by law enforcement or someone else there that might have a weapon that can stop you. Once again, this is a Republican U.S. judge, right? A Republican Supreme Court judge. And each and every time they have an opportunity to do what they say they want to do in reference to making the country safer, they fail in regards to gun laws. And then they refer back to the Second Amendment. No one who constructed the Second Amendment at that time had a semi-automatic or automatic weapon. But they keep referring back to this antiquated amendment, one that they don't even recite properly, to justify keeping the NRA and politicians happy. And it's shameful. I mean, it's incredibly shameful. All right, enough about this wonderful news that goes on in the world. I decided, before we get to our guest, every Sunday, I'm going to give you 3 Sunday fun facts. Because I walk around with these things in my head that I've read somewhere, that I've looked up. They don't really mean a whole lot. It's useless knowledge, but it's fun knowledge. You know what I mean? Like, if you're in a trivia game, or if you want to stump somebody, you can throw this on them. But one of the things is that one of the Sunday fun facts, or the first Sunday fun fact, is that humans cannot walk in a straight line without looking at something. It's physically impossible for a human to walk in a straight line with your eyes closed. If you don't have a focal point and you continue to walk, you'll gradually walk into a circle. True story. The other is that pigs cannot look up to the sky. Because of the way the body of the pig is constructed and the lack of neck that they have, they literally cannot look up to the sky. All right. And my last here's my last Sunday fun fact for today. Did you know that your brain hides your nose? Meaning, your nose is literally always visible to you, always, but you can't see it very well because your brain ignores it through a process called unconscious selective attention. So even though your nose is right in front of you, right in front of your two eyes, your brain focuses on other things. It's your brain's way of keeping you from crossing your eyes and being able to focus on something else other than the nose that's right in front of it. Similar to if you turn on your windshield wipers, you know that the windshield wipers are going back and forth. It's right in front of you. But what you focus on, what your brain focuses on, is beyond those wipers, unless you decide to focus on the wipers themselves. Pretty amazing what the brain can do. All right, that's my last Sunday fun fact. Okay, like I mentioned earlier, we're going to have some fun today. I've got a guest today that I've known since about 1992. We traveled the world together. We were in the military together. And at that time, he was just an incredible athlete to me that was very funny. If you were around Corey at the time, you're guaranteed to have a laugh at some point in time. And he does not disappoint. He's taken that talent, that gift, and put it on the stage. And he's become a very successful comedian and actor. He's been a few movies already. And he's opened for the likes of Cat Williams, Michael Epps, Dion Cole, and many, many more. Originally from Nashville, Tennessee, he's moved to California, out to Hollywood. So he's a Hollywood boy now. And he's performed at places like the Comedy Store, the Laugh Factory, the Improv. He's just been all over the place since we've gotten out of the military, and kudos to him. I'm proud of him. I love him. But I got to tell you, before I bring him on, make sure you get the kids out of the room, all right? Because if you got virgin ears, you know, he's raw. He don't hold back, but he's a lot of fun. So welcome to 1500 and Let's Talk, my boy, Corey Sebo Cecil. All right, y'all, I got Sebo Cecil in the house. What's going on, big dog? How you doing?
I'm blessing you, sir. I'm blessing you, man. How you doing?
Hey, I'm trying to make it, Hey, I said earlier to my listeners, man, that I've known you for quite a while. Was it about 25 years now?
Something man, like that. It's been a couple of decades and a half.
Yeah. But that was back when we were all green back in the Army, so... You've been doing a big thing since then. But here's the thing, man. I always wondered, because you were one of the best athletes I'd ever met, like natural athletes. Why didn't you do something in the sports arena?
Man, back then, the scouts weren't coming down south looking for athletes back then. They was going up north and out west back then, bro. You know what I'm saying? Back in the early 90s when we met. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
In high school, you know, we played football, basketball, ran track, all that. Had good grades, but, you know, the scouts wasn't, you know what I'm saying, had good stats and shit, you know, all that, but they weren't coming down south back then looking for talent, bro.
Yeah, you was one of them cats I hated, man, because I was always in the gym, but I still didn't look like you, you know what I'm saying? I hated you, bro.
Sometimes it could be genetics, bro, you know what I'm saying?
You know what I mean? But listen, you got out of the military, right? And what, mm-hmm. I mean, you was always a funny, crazy dude, but, like, I didn't see stand-up in your future. What got you in that direction?
Man, once I got out, and I'm going to this comedy club in Nashville where I'm from, they had an open mic at the time. And me and a friend, you know, we lived in the neighborhood where it was at, and had Monday night open mic. And we made a bet that I wouldn't go in there and, you know, get on stage and, you know, do the open mic night, talk a little shit.
Right.
When we made a bet and I went in there, had a good time. And the manager, the owner told me to, you know what I'm saying, to come back. And shit, I came back and kept coming back. And, you know what I'm saying, before you know it, shit, here we is today still doing comedy.
Now, did you already have material? Like, what did you draw from? The first time you went on stage, you had to be a little scared. I mean, I know you're crazy, but you still had to be a little scared, right?
Well, I'm first time on stage, yeah. I really did just mess with the crowd.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I didn't really have no material in the beginning. I didn't know what material was.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Until I actually got into doing comedy. And then once I found out what material was, it was even easier, because material is, you know what I'm saying, everyday lifestyle. You just tell it in a humorous way.
Right. So what's the most difficult thing about doing stand-up that you found?
The most difficult thing?
Yeah.
The most difficult thing about stand-up comedy? Yeah. It's been so easy for me. I can't really find it too much difficult. I can't find nothing difficult to say about doing it, because it's so fun and easy, you know what I'm saying? Because, you know, when it comes to comedy, and you're doing comedy, and the people in the audience, if they're there, that's what they come for. They come to laugh.
Right. Now, I know you travel. You travel all over the country. So a lot of comedians say that is the most difficult thing, is the travel part. Like, you don't find that hard? You just welcome it?
We was in the military, fool. You know
what I'm saying? Yeah, you're right.
We was, you know what I'm saying? They trained us to travel.
Yeah, you're right. We had traveled the world a couple times.
Turn around, we packing up and going somewhere.
Yeah, you're right. You're right about
that. So out here is even easier, because, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
you ain't got no squad leader, you know what I'm saying? Or teammate over your head trying to make sure you done pack everything and don't leave nothing.
Yeah. You miss the Army at all, man? You miss anything about it?
Hell yeah. I met some very intelligent, important people that I would have never met before in my life if I didn't go to the military.
Right.
Like you.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that, man. I miss it, yeah, too. The camaraderie, I try to tell people, man, the camaraderie that you have in the military, like, I've experienced it nowhere else, man. Like, nowhere else.
Yeah, I think it had a whole lot to do with where we were stationed at, too, though. I think we were stationed somewhere else, it wouldn't have been, you know, the experience that we had.
Really?
Yeah. Because, man, listen, I'm a project kid, man. I have no business at the White House and Pentagon. I'm from the projects. I'm talking about, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
I was just on a podcast last night, and we was talking about that, bro. You know what I'm saying? Me and a friend of mine came in on a buddy pass.
Oh, is that right?
And even on the buddy pass, we got separated.
Okay.
Because of our ASVAB score. I made like a 103, 100 and something, and he made got in like a 45.
Nah, dog. Yeah, ASVAB score had to be more than 103, because you had to be 1010 just to get into the old guard.
Yeah, that's what I was saying, 1-something.
Yeah. It had to be higher than that.
110, 112, something like that. Right. That's what it was.
Yeah. Now you're a parent, right? You're a dad.
Most definitely dad.
Right. So when you on the road, right, how much time do you spend like just trying to keep in touch with your kids?
Oh, we tap in every day.
Okay.
Yeah, we tap in every day, you know what I mean?
Right. And how old are they now?
I just had a daughter graduate from the Naval Academy.
What?
Yeah, 2 weeks ago.
I didn't know that, man.
Yeah, she just graduated from the Naval Academy.
That's outstanding, man.
Yeah, I'm so proud and excited for her, too. She's going to Italy in about 3 to 4 weeks. She's going to come home for 2 weeks, and then she's going to Italy.
Okay. So you have opened for a lot of people. Who are some of the people? I know you opened for Cat. Who are some of the people you opened for that you've done work for?
Cat, Mike Elch, Michael Blackson, Deion Cole.
Okay.
Shit, I was supposed to work with Dave Chappelle this weekend in the city, but shit, I'm on the road right now with Charleston White, so you know we had to miss Dave this time.
Okay. So when you set up tours, do you set up tours based on where the next city is, or do you just roll wherever people want you to be? So like,
shit, I roll where they book me at.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, wherever the money is at, that's where I go to, bro.
I hear you. Where's the last time you headlined?
Shoot, I just headlined. I headline here where I go. If I'm not headlining, I'm hosting.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, you were in a movie, too. What movie were you in?
West Coast Stories 2.
What was it?
West Coast Stories 2.
Yeah. What was that like, man? What's it like being on a movie set?
Just being on set of movies. I've had a couple of more movies. I don't forget some of the movies I've been on set of. I got a couple of them. You know what I'm saying? Some of them didn't really make it to the box office or, you know, it just being experienced and just having fun on set and stuff, man. You know how it is.
Right.
In the entertainment game.
Right. You ever feel like you bombed, man? When you went out there, you just didn't have, you know, because some people times you go out and do something, you're in the zone.
You feel like you bombed, but the crowd still say you done good. But you know, as a comic, you could have done a whole lot better.
Right.
You know when you're strong out there and when you're weak. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, in this comedy game, it's up and down. Sometimes you have a great night, and sometimes you have an okay night, my nigga. It ain't always. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah. Sometimes you got to go out there and work, bro.
Do you worry about getting canceled when you talk about LGBTQ or anything like that?
No, I don't worry about getting canceled about like that, because when I talk about them, I talk about my family members.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, I got gay family members, shit, friends and all that little shit.
Right.
I got gay homies that I, you know what I'm saying, was locked up with, you know what I'm saying, and still friends with, you know what I'm saying? I don't fuck with them like that, but you know what I'm saying? When you're from the projects, it's a whole different ball game when it comes to the LGBTQ. You're born and raised with them motherfuckers, so you know what I'm saying? You know how to deal with them.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I ain't trying to bash them or nothing, you know what I'm saying? I got a gay uncle that I love to death. I used to live with, you know what I'm saying, the whole nine. So I know what it is for that on that side of the world. You know what I'm saying? You grew up in it, and you got family and friends members from that side, so you know what I'm saying? Ain't nothing bad to us. It's right. A lifestyle.
When you go back home, because, you know, people don't know. I mean, people here in Nashville, right? All they think about is the Grand Ole Opry, right?
Yeah, country music.
Right. They don't know how the gangs roll down in Nashville. Like, they don't know how bad it is down there as far as the crime goes. How do you handle that, man? Like, how do you stay out? Because, you know, you're still a part of, you know... You're still apart. So how do you handle that, man? Just Stay out of that
stuff. After so long, man, you get old and you go out of that world.
Yeah.
And you grow out of that world, you know what I'm saying? And once you grow out of it, you know what I'm saying? You know how to stay out of it, you know what I'm saying? But you know, some people, you know, like that lifestyle, so they stick with it.
Yeah, they say sometimes, man, you gotta love your friends from a distance. You know what I mean? Like when you're trying to make it, when you're trying to ascend, your star's trying to ascend. Sometimes you just gotta leave some people behind. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you gotta step away, or you gotta say no, or you know what I mean? Sometimes you just gotta love some people from a distance.
Right, right.
That's all.
Now I also know, cause I check you out, man. You're my boy, but I also know you still spend a lot of time in the gym. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Health and wellness and fitness is still real important to you. How do you find time for that when you're on the road? You know what I mean?
Like right now, get out on the ground and just push for no reason and do some dip or something outside the couch or the love seat. You know what I'm saying? Just stay active when you can't get to a gym. You know, so you can just do something. You mean just don't just, you know what I'm saying, say no.
Okay. Okay, what about you? The hardest thing, though, man, is eating habits when you're on the go, because you can't meal prep when you're on the road, so.
No, man, ain't nobody doing all that now. Meal prep is all, nah. You know what and what not to eat, man. We all know. We know what the body can take and what the body can't take, and you know what to put in your body, what not to put in your body, you know. When it comes to health and all that old type stuff, we all know it's about your intake, what you eat.
Right.
So you know what drive-through to go to and what drive-through not to go to, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And I ain't one of those perfect people that's, you know what I'm saying, like, no, you can't eat after a certain time of night. No, sir, I eat all day, every day. It's just when you go to the gym, it's your work ethic. You just go in there and you work this shit off.
Right.
Yeah.
Before you got into comedy, where'd you think your future was going to lie? Where did you think you were going to be as far as a career goes?
Shit, I didn't know, bro. It's all of, you know what I'm saying, just waking up every day and, you know what I'm saying? Taking off and, you know. This comedy game is tricky, bro.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Especially when you the artist. You're the behind the scenes. You're the actual artist. So you got to, you know what I'm saying? All I do is when they call your number, you got to show up and show the fuck out. That's all.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you do a show, right? Because you don't do the same show everywhere you go, right? You can't wear the same. It's like wearing the same outfit to every, you know what I'm saying? People see it. So when you change up, how do you know when you need to change material? Like, how many shows do you do before you change? I always wondered it about comics, because
you do the same. You got the same topics. You just deliver them differently.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? You're talking about the, you know what I'm saying? You're going to hear comics saying the same jokes. They're just going to deliver them differently.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Every night it's a different crowd. You know what I'm saying? You're going to get on stage, you're going to have your set up, you're going to talk about. But you're not going to, you know what I'm saying, deliver it the same. It's going to come off the tongue different.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's how that works right now.
You get the same, you still get the same kind of rush you did when you started, man. You still really get amped when you have a good crowd, or is it?
Oh, you get amped up, get before the show, nervous, all that old stuff. It don't go away.
Is that right?
Yeah, so, you know, so once you get up there and break the ice, you know what I'm saying? Build a crowd out, you know what I'm saying? All this shit go away.
What's the hardest crowd you've had, do you think?
Hardest crowd I've had?
What city?
City? Did you say what city was
the hardest? Yeah, what city was the hardest?
Hardest city, man. I might say New York.
Really?
Yeah, because New York comedy, they, you know, in comedy, you know what I'm saying, it's a different cadence. Yeah. Everybody got different cases in different, you know what I'm saying, different places.
Right. I was listening to Corey Holcomb day before yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And he was talking about how there are a lot of cats in the game who are not funny,
mm-hmm.
but they keep getting hooked up with the right people. And before you know it, you know, they're in movies, they had their own shows, and he says, but they're not really funny. You know what I'm saying? He said, at this point in the game, it's more about who you know than how funny you are. You find that to be true?
110% true.
Really?
That's Hollywood right now.
Huh.
That's all the comedy that is in Hollywood. We know people right now that's funnier than Kevin Hart, Dave Chappelle, Mike Epps. The list goes on. But those are the guys that Hollywood is a pick for the black people to be, for us to be our, you know what I'm saying, homeland comics, our facial, you know what I'm saying, TV comics.
Right. What do you think is based on, though? Like, why? You know, why?
It's Hollywood politics, man.
Right.
Hollywood politics.
Have you tried to network with any of these? You know what I'm saying? You ever tried to jump on the bandwagon, or you just gonna be true to SIBO?
I ain't no bandwagon. No nut dragon. No dick rattle. You know, we all work together. We friends and stuff, and hang out and kick it. But you know,
yeah. Yeah. Anybody you like working with more than the others? Like, you got a favorite comic that you like to work with? Obviously, on the road with Charleston White right now, but anybody mm-hmm. else you like working with more than the others?
Mm-mm. Mm-hmm. No. Not really.
They all cool.
Everybody cool. Most definitely, man.
Right.
It's like being in the Army, like being in a fraternity. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Like being a big comedy gang.
You know what's funny, man? I listened to Monique talk, right? She had a concert, and she was talking about, you know, D.L. Hughley and how they had that falling out and all. And I was like, you know, y'all, they supposed to be funny. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're supposed to be making people laugh. But instead, it became a whole big thing. And my question was, is why, if it is a fraternity, like you say, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why can't y'all work that out behind the scenes? Why? Because there wasn't nobody laughing at it, right? There was nothing funny about this. You know what situation I'm talking about, right? There was nothing funny about that situation. Have you ever run into a situation where you and another comic had beef and you had to decide not to bring that on stage and talk about it? Like, you just kept it behind the scenes?
Yeah. That's right. Now I got beef with a couple of comics because I don't talk about it on stage.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And that's with any job. You know what I'm saying? So you can have people who don't like in the corporate world at the job, at the office. Same thing on football, basketball teams, et cetera. It's always somebody that's, you know, don't disagree with, you know what I'm saying, what you got going on or your idea or your whatever, bro. So.
Yeah. So are you looking for TV deals now? Are you trying to get TV deals or movie deals for yourself?
I ain't really never looked for no deals or no TV deals to try to be, you know what I'm saying? I was all about the braid, about getting paid just to be funny, bro. So as far as trying to, you know, get TV deals and moving, being commercials and stuff.
Not you.
I ain't never just went audition and all that stuff. They call me and tell me they want me. Yeah, I'm coming. But as far as going and just, you know what I'm saying, trying to be this A-list, you know what I'm saying, movie star, nah.
Not your thing.
Nah. Shit. Just being not an A plus, but just a A list comic right now. Pay my bills and travel and have fun and, you know.
Yeah, it sounds like you're having a lot of fun, bro. It sounds like you're having a whole bunch of fun.
Do the same shit that them niggas is doing. We just ain't getting them checks. You know, we getting checks, but not them big checks like they getting.
Right. Well, you sit down. To listen to a comic, like, what comic do you listen to that just cracks you up every time? You
know what I mean? Well, you said I don't listen to nobody.
Are you serious?
I don't listen to nobody at all, bro.
Come on, man.
I do not. Well, back in the day, when you was coming up, you know, everybody sat down and listened, you know, to Rich Pryor and Red Fox. Before sitting down, listening to a different comic right now, not one.
Really?
Really.
Wow. So then you really don't. You really don't study anybody else. It's all about...
No, I got my own style. I got my own material. You know what I'm saying? That's all. That's being authentic right there. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? I don't study nobody's style, nobody's cadence. I ain't trying to hear... You know what I'm saying? I hear other comics, but as far as sitting down listening and taking notes from them, no. You know what I'm saying? I'd probably sit down and listen to them and You know what I'm saying? If they funny, you know what I'm saying? But right. If they're not funny, they're not even going to get my attention enough for me to sit down and listen to them.
Now, you say you opened for Mike Epps, worked with Mike Epps.
Yeah, and I work with Mike on a regular.
That's what I thought, because I've seen you in video with Mike Epps.
Right? Yeah.
And yeah. I was like, well, he's all over the place, right? So I thought you guys would partner up a lot more and stuff, you know what I mean?
Well, sure. Every time we come together, we have a different, a lot of people have different relationships. We have a real personal relationship.
Now, okay.
Our personal relationship is deeper than our comedy relationship.
Okay. I got you.
Yeah.
Yeah. He is, like you said, he's one of these people, man, that just sees people in the audience, man, and just, like the last person you want to heckle is him or D-Ray. You know what I mean?
Right.
They make a whole show out of a heckle. You know what I mean?
That part, exactly. Yeah, you got to destroy hecklers.
Yeah. Is that an art form? Is that something that is just in you, or is that something that you have to practice?
Oh, it's just instincts. That's just something in you. You can't practice, you know what I'm saying, that type of, you know what I'm saying, humor, or that type of retaliation of a person who's, you know what I'm saying, in the crowd. Yeah. So
when you're writing your material and you you're getting your timing together and all of that, is that something you do in the mirror, or do you rehearse that in front of somebody else?
You go to work. That's why you go to open mics and practice it.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Then you go open mic and try to type shit out. And, you know what I'm saying? Work on it until you put all the, you know what I'm saying, bells and whistles together, and shit, eventually, you know what I'm saying, you add it to your arsenal.
Right. I thought that Mike, you know, that the comics were just like preachers or musicians. You know, they write a song or sing a song or write a sermon, and they in their room, they practice it in the mirror, they practice in front of their family and friends, and then they take it out on stage. But you're saying you literally write it and go on stage to an open mic and test it on the crowd.
Right. You gotta get a response. Comedy with comedy, you gotta get a response.
Right. So and timing is everything, I assume.
Exactly.
How long you think you're gonna do this? How long you think you're gonna be doing comedy, man? Because you've been doing it for how long? Like 20 years now?
Yeah, since I got in the military, since 95.
It's a long time, bro. How long are you gonna be doing this, man? Because you know a lot of us cats are retired, man.
Oh, we having fun right now. It's just, man. Trust me. You know everybody. Gotta wait their turn. I'm a late one. They just coming in. They just let me shine right now. So.
Oh, is that right?
Man, I've been underground all my life, man. I ain't never been, you know what I'm saying, no household name comedian, but I work with them.
Right.
Yeah, I work with all of them. So. Yeah, now they trying to make me a household name. They say, it's your turn now.
Yeah, I mean, so. I guess you got to pay your dues, man. You know, I love comedians, man. I love laughing, man. So I got a few favorites, you know what I mean? And I was listening to you the other day, Tuesday. Yeah, I think it was Tuesday. And knowing who you were, knowing who you are, and then seeing you on stage, I'm like, just the same dude. Like, you know, like some people, you know, they putting on an act, right?
Right.
They putting on like a costume or putting on a face. But literally,
yeah, they in character,
right? But you, but I remember being on the buses with you traveling.
Yeah, right?
You're the same crazy cat, yo. You're the same.
Like, it was like high school. It's like we was, you know what I'm saying, in the back of the bus going to high school. We going to a job site down the cemetery somewhere.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? They don't know that part right there. Going to a job site down in the funeral.
Down in the cemetery. Yeah. We had good times, though, man. We were fortunate, man, to have the duty that we did. We saw some really crazy stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah. We sure did. I'll be telling a lot of people, said, man, y'all don't understand. I know everybody got their stories about when they was in the military, and you know what I'm saying? But our story was a complete different story,
complete
man.
Complete different story. Do you ever check one of the guys, man? You know, to see.
Yeah, I just talked to Jose. Yeah, I tried to talk to Jose yesterday. P-Check.
Okay. I haven't talked to P-Check in a minute.
Who's that? Gage?
Yeah, Gage. Gage is near you right now. You know, Disney? Yeah, Gage's. Well, Gage is in Austin.
Okay, okay. I was just in Austin. You know what I'm saying? Week four last.
Yeah, he's in Austin right now.
Yeah, I flew into Austin. I had a show in Killeen last week.
Okay. Oh my God. Okay.
Right, right. The military spot.
Right. Now, Gage, man, Gage left town because he was up here with me. And he left town, man, and went down to Texas, got himself a sister. He living a whole nother life.
Yeah, I see him. He having fun.
He
too.
Having he a good time.
Facebook. Can't tell him nothing. He got him a little sister. Can't tell him nothing. He got a little black woman. He think he me or you right now.
Right, 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 right. He been reincarnated right into the brotherhood. Yeah,
I said he's probably saying the N-word by now. God
right,
damn.
Rolling off his tongue. You know what I mean?
Yeah, come on, goddamn these niggas over here. I know they got tired of me calling the N-word so much when we were locked up. They felt like one.
Oh, was it?
You know, I call all the white boys niggas.
Oh, is that right?
Man, what? Not on purpose, but just in general conversation. You know what I'm saying?
Right, right, right. Now, Gage is a different dude, though, man. Gage is a different cat. And I talked to Jose. Jose was at the crib not too long ago. He was at the house. Mm-hmm. He's down in Atlanta. Humphrey's down in Atlanta. I don't know if you remember Johnny Woods, Tony.
Oh, Tony, Icky. You know Icky. Me? Icky was roommates for a long time.
Well, that's right. That's right. He coaching championship Ryan girls up there in Maryland. So.
Yeah, I'll follow him on the book. I see him, M.O. Suzanne, and my folks.
Yeah, yeah. Everybody's doing pretty good, man. But you in the spotlight big time. So it's just cool to see you doing what you do. It's just crazy. It's weird because oftentimes, you know, the teacher will tell the class clown they're not going to be anything. You know what I mean?
Right. You ain't going to be shit.
Right.
You ain't going to be shit.
And to see you take what you were doing way back then to where you are now, it's just crazy, man. Because you were definitely the clown, man. You were definitely the athlete clown.
I mean, we had fun, man. What you talking about, man? We was in a situation we ain't had no choice but that. You know what I'm saying? To me, that was like being in fucking jail or prison or something out there. How they had us. We were at a very highly restricted place, and we were some young black guys out there. Didn't know no better.
You know better. Had to make the best out of the situation.
We had to, you know what I'm saying? It was a learn as you go type stuff. You know what I'm saying? We ain't known about this. I didn't. I'm speaking for me. You might have known, but I ain't know nothing about no old guard, no none of that shit. I got, you know what I'm saying? They introduced me to that shit, my nigga. For real. When I got there, I'm like, what is this shit? You know what I'm saying? I'm signing up for the real army. Did I get that? You know what I'm saying? Get down. There's some toy soldier type shit going on.
Yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah. It was crazy. It was definitely crazy. But we had a good time, like you said.
We had a ball. And I don't know about everybody else, but I did.
No, I know you did. And here's the thing, man. You were fortunate in that you were in a protected kind of unit, you know what I'm saying, with the drill team and all, because they weren't going to mess with the drill team too much, you know what I'm saying? It was too valuable to them. So, you know, a lot of stuff was swept under the rug, so to speak, when it came to the drill team. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
A whole lot of stuff.
Yeah, a whole lot of stuff was fucked up. I know it's fucked up because I'm on the drill team. I mean, what the hell am I doing on the drill team?
We did a lot of stuff, man, that never got reported. I know that. That should have been.
Man, listen, bro. We did everything that was supposed to. You ain't supposed to have girls in the dorm rooms. Yeah, right. I got 2-3 of them right now. Dude, you got the key.
True story. True story.
That's right. Huh?
True story, man. I was dating somebody whose best friend played soccer over in Italy. You gonna know who I'm talking about already. 15 years out of the military, I run into her, and her friend was still asking if I knew where you were. True story. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Who?
Nah, she was a professional soccer player over in Italy.
What's her name?
Come on, dog. I ain't going to call her name, but you know who I'm talking about, man.
Man, I want you to call her name because I got to figure out who the hell it is. I, I know you're talking about, but I can't think of her name.
Yeah, man, I ain't gonna call her name, but I promise you, I ran into her, and it was about 20 years after, because it was only like 7 or 8 years ago.
Man, what's that girl? I'm gonna call her name because I remember her.
Yeah, she's like,
I can't. I know a woman. She was like one of the first little girls I started dating up at my. She used to come on base and pick me up and take me to her little crib and stuff.
She's like, "Where's Corey? Have you seen Corey? Have you seen Corey?"
I remember, bro. I can't think. See the. Let me see the key to the car, bro. Get these blunts up out of there so I can roll up real quick. Yeah, man, what's her name? I'm going to take a car, start Collette.
You almost got it. You almost.
All right, what is that? Yeah, I know who it is. Right, man, what's her name?
Yeah.
What's her name? Boy, you got me thinking right now. It started with a C.
It's Collette.
Collette,
yep.
That's her name.
Yep.
That's her name, Collette, man.
She sure did. She's like, "Where's Corey? Have you seen Corey?"
Hey, man, me and that little girl did. Hey, she used to come in. Hey, listen, bro, she used to come spend the night in the barracks, bro. Yeah. Collette used to come spend the night in the barracks with a nigga, bro. I'm like, man, look here, this ain't right, but it is right.
Man, crazy. Crazy.
Crazy, man. You said she would have been a professional soccer player somewhere.
Yeah, she went on and became a professional, a pro soccer player, then came back and became a cop over here in VA.
A cop?
Yeah, man.
Damn.
Yeah. Yeah. Showing up. But I didn't give her your info, man. I didn't give her your info, so you safe.
God, you should have gave her my information, man. I need to see her. That was my baby for a little minute.
Is that right?
Man, what?
So much your baby, you ain't even remember her name.
I know it, man. I was 19. I'm 53 now, bro. Goddamn. Hey, you see, I had to study her name for a minute. Real, bro. But yeah. I mean, she taught me a little bit about
life.
Well, they had some part of Alexandria, Virginia. She taught me. You might, no, pause. You start dating girls and she start learning the city because you got to go get them.
Right. That's very true. We were taught a lot of things by young ladies back then, man, that we didn't know anything
sure
about.
Sure the hell was, bro.
You know what I mean?
Shit, we used to get down, man, hang out in Georgetown, and man.
Oh, my God. Yeah. We had a great time, man. A great time. Even when we go overseas or different states, it was just a learning experience all the way around. You know what I mean?
Yes, it was.
All the way around. Stuff I never forget.
Like you said, I had a ball, though.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Who's that in the background making all that noise?
Let's say again.
So who's that making all that noise in the background?
Oh, that's old Dewberry right there talking shit.
Oh, okay. Well, look, man, I'm going to let you run. I just wanted to, you know, I just wanted to let my people know. Where are you now? Where are you going to be? When are you coming to the East Coast? When are you going to do some things up this way?
Man, I'm in Texas, down in Beaumont, Texas right now, in Dallas, Houston area, man. Me and Charleston got, you know what I'm saying, we on the road right now. We got some shows. We got a night down. We Hill, Memphis, Little Rock, Arkansas. Shit. We got a whole lot on the calendar, bro.
Little Rock ain't no joke either.
Yeah, I'm not Little Rock, man. They tough over there.
Yeah, man. They stand up people and put them down over in Little Rock. They ain't messing around down there.
Yeah, they Little Rock like L.A., man. They game banged out.
For real. Yeah, they don't mess around.
Yes, they are, man. Yes, they are.
You know. But yeah, you be safe, man. Where can we see you? Like on YouTube, or you have your own website?
You can be on YouTube. You know what I'm saying? Corey Cecil is Zany. Go on YouTube and just type in Corey Cecil is Zany. I'll pop straight up. Or you can find me on IG, YOBOYNEM, your boy Nim. Everybody knows about your boy Nim.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, Facebook, Corey Sebo Cecil, you know what I'm saying? We ain't hard to find, baby, you know what I'm saying?
You got some T-shirts and hats and paraphernalia and stuff, too, people can buy, right?
Yeah, I got all that. You can go to your boy them website, get T-shirts, hats, backpacks, beanies, you know what I'm saying, the fishing hats, you know what I'm saying, hoodies. So, the website going to let you know what's all going on. Just go to yourboynem.com. Everything going to pop up.
All right, man. Well, look, bro, it's been a good time, man, reminiscing with you. And
Yes, it has, man. It has been a good time. Good to hear from you and all that good old night stuff, man. Shit. And let's do this again sometime soon, man.
Absolutely, man. I'll be following you. I'll be following you for sure, and I'll be hollering at you. You know how it goes.
Okay. All right. I appreciate you, bro. Until next time, my man, you stay blessed, bro.
All right, see you. So love you, man. Take it easy.
My man. Yes, sir.
Peace out.
All right.
All right, well, I know you hear the music. That means one thing on this show. It is time for the Petty. Let's get the Petty on the line and see what he's talking about this week.
Good morning. Good morning, Brother B.
The Petty. How you doing this morning, brother?
I'm doing just great. How are you?
I'm trying to hang it in there, man. Look, man, you had a little bit of a rough week last week, bro.
Well, actually, the first week was the rough week. Last week wasn't too bad. I had to go back and look at a couple of things. First of all, let me say that my first Thursday night was a bummer, and I've been remiss with my duties and giving up the Thursday night picks. But the last two Thursday nights, I did take the Eagles, and of course, I took those 49ers. So, when I look at my Thursday night record, we're 2-1. And okay, before we get off of this line this morning, I will have the pick for the upcoming Thursday evening.
Okay.
So before we get into my football picks, and right now, since we're talking about my record, it's 20-12 for the first 2 weeks.
Okay.
So
that's not
too bad. I'm +8.
Okay. All right. Whatever.
If you go back and look at it, because I have the sheets right here.
I know you do.
That's neither here nor there. Let's talk a little bit about baseball.
Okay.
Man,
right,
we are coming up on the final days of the season, and those red hot O's are just barely hanging on. But you know what, brother? Before we talk about the O's, let's talk about the American League East. There's a possibility that they will send 3 teams to the playoffs. I'm talking about the Orioles, of course,
right,
who are already in.
Right. The Rays. Right.
Who are already in. And there's a possibility that those Blue Jays, those Bluebirds up north, could possibly get in as a wild card team.
I always forget about the Bluebirds, man. The Blue Jays, I mean. I always forget about the Blue Jays.
And wouldn't that be something? That would show how powerful that the American League East is if they send 3 teams to the playoffs.
Yeah, but I still don't think we have the kind of talent that the National League has. That's my only concern. I just believe that there's not a team in the American League that can stand up to the Braves if the Braves go, or even maybe the Dodgers if the Dodgers go.
Brother B, did you see the series earlier this season between the Braves and the Orioles?
I'm
going to ask you.
I did.
And you don't think the Orioles can handle the Braves? You don't think they can stand up to the Braves?
I don't think they can beat them in 5 games.
Let me tell you something, Brother B. They played a good three-game series.
Right.
I think the Orioles could take them to 7.
Ooh.
The Orioles get there, the Braves get there. First of all, the Braves have to get there. Last year, they looked good.
Right.
Who took down the Braves last year?
Who did take down the Braves last year?
The Phillies took down the Braves. Now, you know, we all talked about teams getting hot at the right time. The Phillies are playing good baseball right now.
Right. Yeah.
And the manager of the team said he's worried more about the Phillies than any other team in the National League. He said that team scares him because they play so well and they play the Braves so well.
Yeah.
So don't just put the Braves in the World Series just yet.
The Braves have a hell of a lineup, too.
They really have a hell of a lineup. Ronald Acuña Jr., who's a 40-40 guy, and talk about 40 stolen bases, 40 home runs. That's something huge.
Yeah.
So I'm not discounting the Braves at all. I'm thinking that most likely, if they should be in the World Series, I really don't think another team in the National League can beat them outside the Phillies. And I'm not saying it because I'm here in Philadelphia. I'm saying it because they're division rivals. They see each other several times a year. And the manager said it himself. That's one team that scares him.
Right. Right.
But we're talking about the O's right now. We're talking about the American League. And they are barely hanging on. This is the last week of the season. Like I said, they're already in. But you know what? I'd rather see them go in as a division winner than as a wild card team. And even if they go in as a wild card team, they'll have their home game. But as a division winner, they get to wait to see who their next opponent is, which means they'll be in the ALDS instead of the wild card.
Right.
So that's
what
we're kind of looking forward to. And people are now starting to take notice of the Orioles.
Yeah, I hear them talking about them a lot more on ESPN and Fox Sports.
Everybody's just saying those guys just came from out of nowhere.
Yeah.
No, what happened was the Orioles kept pace with the Rays all year long. When the Rays were hot, the Orioles were kind of like right there, but nobody was taking notice of it because everybody was just talking about the Rays so much. I'm talking about Tampa.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, the Rays started losing.
Right.
The Orioles kept on winning. Right. And the next thing you know, in June, or should I say in July, the Orioles are now in first place. And they've been there since then.
Right.
They've played some tough teams. They've played some tough series. And they've come through. And then everybody's starting to take notes because it's close to the end of the season. They're looking at teams that are going into the playoffs. And that's why they're talking about it. They weren't talking about them in June. They weren't talking about them in July. They weren't even talking about them in August. And like I told you last week, they were talking about the teams with the possibility of winning the World Series. They were the fifth team, and they had Tampa and Houston above the Orioles.
Yeah.
But now they're starting to talk about them because they're doing something that a lot of people didn't think they could do, and that's just, you know, carry this thing since July.
Right.
So let's keep on rooting for those high-flying O's.
Always, man.
They will be in the playoffs. I told you, Brother B, you didn't want to listen. Nobody wanted to listen. I told you. They'll be playing baseball in Baltimore in October.
Well, we will see, brother. Well, no, I guess they will be, actually.
They will be.
I tried to
tell anybody, listen, watch out for those O's. There will be Baltimore in baseball in October. Nobody will listen, but guess what? The tickets went on sale. They will be playing baseball in Baltimore in October.
I bet you those tickets are expensive, too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, anyway, let's talk about this football thing.
Okay.
First of all, let's talk about what happened last Thursday night. If you watched it, it was a no-brainer. It probably a lot of people didn't watch it because they knew that the 49ers would take care of the Giants.
Right. Easily.
And if you know something, Brother B, I know you don't like them. A lot of people don't like them. The 49ers have scored 30 points in all three of the games that they played so far this season. They've won their 12th regular season, their 12th straight regular season game. Their young Mr. Irrelevant quarterback has not lost a regular season game yet, and they did something that I didn't even think they were going to beat, even though I did put my money on them. I did not think that they would beat the Rams their ninth game.
I know.
In a row.
That was one of those games.
I did put my money on them because that's my team. So I'm going to keep it real.
Okay.
But
okay.
I did say to you, I said, I really think the Rams is going to break that, even though I put my money on the Niners. But they went out there and they did their thing.
Right. And I don't know. I mean,
the Giants. They made the thing with the Giants look real, real easy.
You know, you analysts and pundits, you guys have them going to the Super Bowl already, a lot of them. So.
Okay. So let me ask you something, brother.
Right.
You got a guy that's a perfect fit for that system.
Okay.
I think Kyle Shanahan finally has his quarterback.
Okay.
You have a defense that upgraded when they got Javon Hargraves, and you got a team that's averaging 30 points a game. They look really, really rough in the first half. If you look at a full 49er game, they look like, man, this team is not going anywhere. They're very beatable. And I mean, any team's beatable, but it's like, just don't see it. But when they come out in the second half, I don't know what's being said in the locker rooms, but somebody's telling them something, because when they come out in the second half, they look like world beaters. I'm not saying that they are. I'm not saying that they're going to go 17-0, but that's a team that a lot of other teams are feeling like, I don't want to see these guys. I don't understand.
There are two things on the San Francisco 49ers that would hurt them. One is McCaffrey. McCaffrey is injury prone. Great play, and they put a lot of weight on him. But if he gets hurt, and if Purdy gets pressure, nobody's putting pressure on Purdy. They put pressure on Purdy, I think you'll see a different San Francisco 49er team. I don't expect McCaffrey to make it through the whole season healthy. I mean, I just don't. And when he goes down, the offense kind of stalls. Because you can lock in on.
You know what, Brother B, I'm sorry to cut you off. I think sometimes it's a mindset. I don't know what it is. When he was in Carolina, he stayed injured his whole career in Carolina. They give him the ball too many times, in my opinion, but he always just jumps back up, and it's like he goes into the huddle and says, give it to me again.
Right.
Because that man is running with some intensity. He's like he's running angry, and, I mean, he's punishing tacklers.
Right.
So if he stays healthy the whole season – teams are going to have a hard time with the 49ers. They have an excellent run game. They have some good receivers. And I think they found a little diamond in the rough because Brandon Ayuk did not play Thursday night. And the rookie, Ronald Bell.
Yeah, he's beast.
Man, where did this guy come from?
Yeah, he's beast. No doubt about it. I was thinking the same thing. He's beast.
So they will be a team to be reckoned with. But let's get into this thing with the picks, okay?
Okay.
We're going to start with the 1 o'clock slate. I have the Tennessee Titans going to Cleveland to see those crusty Browns. Now, unfortunately, the Browns took a major hit with Chubb being injured, and that was a nasty injury. And I really feel for that young man. And we're going to see how that fares.
Right.
Tennessee. Cleveland. Don't like neither one of them. Cleveland's at home. I'm really not too sold on Sean Watson just yet. And I kind of like Tennessee going into Cleveland and beating the Browns.
Okay. All right.
Next up, we have, you know I like this team. You already know I'm about to talk
about. The Lions, the pesky Lions.
Those pesky Lions, yeah. You got it, brother. They will be hosting the Dirty Birds from ATL.
Right.
And I think this is a bounce-back game for them. They took a disappointing loss last week, and I'm expecting some good things from them. I like those pesky Lions over the Falcons.
I roll with you on that one. I got you.
The Saints from New Orleans with Derek Carr, who I'm definitely not impressed with just yet, go to Green Bay. Jordan Love looks like another coming. It's like they found another quarterback to replace the one that they had.
Right.
I like Green Bay over the Saints.
Okay. Now, I got to say, watching Jordan Love play, he's not as accurate as Rodgers is, especially when he's scrambling. He's just not. I'm not a huge Aaron Rodgers fan, but old boy is accurate. And Love is not as accurate as Aaron Rodgers.
But you got to realize, Love hasn't been on the field that much, but I think over time we're going to see a very good quarterback that will fit in Green Bay's system very well. So, like I said, give me Green Bay over New Orleans.
Okay.
I'm not impressed with the Saints just yet. I like the Saints. I like their defense. I like Derek Carr with the Saints. It's just that when I watch their games, I like their receivers, Olave and, you know, Thomas is back. So, I like what they have. You got the Swift Army Knife, and I'm talking about Taysom Hill. But I just don't think they can go into Green Bay. And I know it's still, we're talking about the last week of September, and still kind of warm in Green Bay, but I just don't think they can march into Green Bay and beat Green Bay in Green Bay. So give me the Packers over the Saints.
Okay, all right.
Next up, we have that team that's full of speed, and you know I'm talking about those Dolphins.
Yeah.
They host Mr. Unlimited, who seemed very limited, and I'm talking about Denver Broncos and Russell Wilson,
right,
who go into Miami.
They're going to blow them out.
I like the Dolphins in this one.
Yeah,
I don't know what the hell is going on up in Denver, but it just ain't happening. And I really feel like Denver's been taken to the bank with making that trade and then giving Russell Wilson all that money, because he has shown me absolutely nothing in Denver. Yeah.
Pete Carroll knew exactly what he was doing. He knew exactly what he was doing.
They let him go. It's like, you know what? Russ, you just don't have it no more. And I really think he still had it in Seattle. But in Denver, I think he's out there counting his money.
Yep.
Now, this one's going to be a good one. And these two teams find ways to win, but they also find ways to lose. We got the L.A. Chargers going to see Minnesota Vikings. That's kind of a toughie. The line is just about even. That tells me a lot. A lot of people believe that the Chargers can go into Minnesota and beat Minnesota. I kind of think that they can hang with them, but I think Minnesota's a better team while they're playing at home. I like the Vikings over the Chargers.
Okay, I got you there.
This one I really thought was going to be a better game, but because this man is out for the season, it's going to be same business as usual. I'm talking about New England goes to New York, well, I should say New Jersey, to play those Jets. And I'm telling you, I was picking the Jets all the way up until Aaron Rodgers got hurt. I looked at the schedule earlier this season. I'm like, wow, this is time for the Jets to stick it to the Patriots. Don't think so. Not with that guy.
Zach Wilson.
Man, that dude, he's horrible. He's just terrible. They're out there looking for another quarterback to come in and possibly do something for him. I just don't see, and I know they have a very good defense. I like their defense. I just don't think the offense has confidence in him, and that's why they don't play as well. I got the Patriots going up into Jersey, up into the Meadowlands, and just destroying the Jets.
So I take a different approach. I think Zach Wilson's going to ball out this week. And I think he's going to ball. I really do. I think he's going to ball out because I think he understands that if it's this week or it's never. And I'm serious. And I don't think, as a backup, I think if he doesn't ball out this week, he will no longer be in the league. because he won't have any. I'm telling you, bro. I think he's going to ball out this week. Watch what I tell you.
I disagree with you. I think Bill Belichick will go up in there, and he will be in his defense. Look, New England doesn't have a bad defense. And we're talking about the head coach who was a defensive mastermind. And you think Zach Wilson's going to ball out?
I really do.
Brother B,
he has the tools. Zach Wilson has the tools. He just doesn't have the mentality. He didn't have the it was something about he was just a he's just a timid quarterback. But I think he realizes he can't do that. Watch what I tell. I think he's going to ball out.
You know what Zach Wilson is? He's a clipboard holder. Let me tell you something, Brother B. If they don't win this game Sunday, they will be out there searching high and low for someone to come in there and just try to salvage their season.
Yeah, well.
Like I said, give me the Patriots over the Jets.
Okay, all right.
Next up, we got those Buffalo Wild Wing Bills going to see the Washington Redskins football team, Commanders.
I was
going to
say what?
D.C. No, I mean, they had like 3, 4, 5 different names.
I know.
They're talking about changing the name. What will they be next? Right. So I call them the Redskins Football Team Commanders.
They're going to be the Magic pretty soon, the Washington Magic. Watch.
Yeah, they need to do something magically with that team.
They're 2-0.
They're 2-0. It's a very, you know what? They are the same type of 2-0 team that the Vikings were last year. Very suspect.
Okay. All right.
I don't think Buffalo is going to let them become 3-0. I like the Bills going into D.C. and beating the Commanders.
Okay. I don't agree with
that. My next game up on the slate would be Houston Texans going into Jacksonville. I like the coach for the Texans. I don't like the team. I just can't see Houston going into Jacksonville and beating the Jaguars. Give me those Spotted Cats at home over the Texans.
Okay.
And finally, the 1 o'clock game, we have your Baltimore Ravens, those Angry Birds, hosting the team that used to be called Baltimore. And I'm talking about the Colts from Indianapolis.
Right.
They come down to MMT Bank Stadium to see the Ravens.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? Give me the Ravens. I know you're surprised to hear me say it. I think the Ravens are going to blow them out.
Yeah.
I think this is, to me, this is a personal game.
It is, and it always is. Yeah.
The Colts. It's always personal when the Colts come back to Baltimore.
Yep.
It's personal for me. I don't like the Ravens, but I hope they beat the brakes off of those Colts.
Right. Right.
Give me the Ravens over the Colts. Next up, we have the Carolina Panthers. Now I'm talking about the 4 o'clock slate. So we're going to start with the Carolina Panthers going to see those sea chickens out in Seattle. I like Seattle in this game. There's a possibility Bryce Young will not play for Carolina. I think he's in the concussion protocol. And we might see Gardner Minshew. Just take the Seahawks over the Panthers.
Okay.
That's all I need to say. And this one I don't need to talk about either. Chicago Bears, they go to see the Kansas City Chiefs in Kansas City. The Bears have lost 12, 13 straight, make it 14.
Okay.
The Bears, losers to the Chiefs. Next up, we got those guys from Big D going to see the Redbirds out in the desert. They suffered a major blow on defense. Major. They lost their big cornerback, ACL tear, out for the season. I don't think that's going to stop their train from rolling. Give me them boys over those Redbirds in Arizona.
Okay.
And finally, tonight, we got the guys from the Steel City going out to Vegas to see those Raiders. You know what? I don't know what to say about the Steelers. And if you think back about the rivalry of the Steelers and the Raiders years ago, this would have been a very huge matchup.
Right.
You got porn star Jimmy G out there, quarterback for the Raiders. I don't know. Something about the Raiders I just don't feel good about now. I did at first, but I'm just not feeling it. You got Kenny Two Glove Pickett, quarterback for the Steelers. Man, this is a Sunday night game. I don't even know if I'm going to watch, but I probably will. I like Pittsburgh going out to Vegas and beating the Raiders.
Okay. All right. Okay.
And tomorrow night, we got another doubleheader. Man, oh man. And these are two good ones. I like this. I'm sorry that it's a double header. It's going to be hard trying to switch back between the two. One starts at 7:15, the other one starts at 8:15. So I'm going to try to watch both of them. And the first one up, 7:15, we got those Philadelphia Pigeons, the Eagles, flying down to the Bay, Tampa Bay, to see that pastry chef who doesn't look too bad with that team down in Tampa right now.
All right.
You know, usually he's cooking up turnovers. That's why I call him the pastry chef. Talking about Baker Mayfield. But now he's cooking up wins. And I'm like, what's going on down in Tampa? Are they a better team than the Eagles? Absolutely not. Do I think they can beat the Eagles? Yeah, I think they do.
Okay. All right.
I have not been impressed with how the Eagles look so far this year. And you got people up here putting them in the play and putting them in the Super Bowl already.
Right.
Because they're 2-0. Because they've been winning. Because of how they looked last year. Let me tell you something, Brother B. Turn the page. This is 2023, not 2022. And those Eagles do not look the same. That RPO that they're running, listen, that's the type of offense that, you know what, after a while, you look at it a couple of times, you find a way to stop it. And I've been watching those Eagle games, and they do not look as sharp as they did last year.
Okay.
But I do like them going down to Tampa and beating the Buccaneers.
Okay.
Give me the Eagles over the Buccaneers. And in the second game, Super Bowl rematch of a couple of years ago, those Rams from L.A. fly out to Cincinnati to see the Bengals.
Joe Burrow's is hurting, bro.
He don't look good. What's going on with him, man?
He doesn't look good, man.
I was about to say that.
Well, he had a calf. He has a calf injury. That's still healing, but he just doesn't look good.
No, he doesn't look good at all. The Bengals, man, I am shocked that they're 0-2, but they will not be 0-3. Give me those striped tiger cats over the Rams.
Okay. All right.
Revenge match. Give me the Bengals over the Rams.
Okay.
And like I said, I'm not going to be remiss in my duties and not mention next Thursday night's game. Listen, we got a good one. Man, oh, man, I love this one. This team, you know, I like them. You know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about those pesky Lions.
Right.
They go back to the scene of the crime. And I'm not saying it because the last time Detroit played in Green Bay, you know what happened.
I do.
They knocked the Packers out of the playoffs. They sent Aaron Rodgers packing. I remember that because I was like, finally, they got the monkey off their back. They
right.
went into Green Bay, and they beat Green Bay. And
That's
Green
right.
Bay needed to win that game to make the playoffs. And those pesky Lions,
who
didn't make it themselves, but they knocked out the Packers in the frozen tundra. Last game of the season, Aaron Rodgers' last game in a Green Bay uniform.
Right.
So you know what? I like those pesky Lions returning to the scene of the crime and knocking off the Packers again.
Okay. All right. Cool.
That's all I have for you, Brother B. My time is up. It's time to sit back, relax, watch a little football, and I'm out of here, Brother B. Peace.
Peace, brother. Thank you, sir. Peace out. Well, there you have it. Your picks for the week, from the Petty's mouth to your ears. I agree with them. Like, on most of this stuff, I really agree. There's only two games that I don't agree with, and that is the Commanders game. I think they're going to win that game. And I don't agree with them on the Jets New England game. I think they're going to win that game. But, you know, I'm not him, and, you know, he has a much better track record than I do. So, you know, put your money where his mouth is. Well, it is the end of an hour. I appreciate the Petty being here, like I just said, and I also appreciate my boy Sebo Cecil being here. He's a funny cat. Please check him out. You can go to YouTube and check him out. Just put in Sebo Cecil. You can check him out, and he's incredibly funny. If you have any questions for me, any ideas for a show, please hit me up on IG at On with Brian Pettaway. If you missed any of the shows, go to voiceswired.com and click on the Let's Talk tab. Got all the shows there listed. But as for now, just kick back, relax, enjoy the games today. Sit back and do nothing. Because like I say, the best part about doing nothing is you can quit whenever you want. So wake up tomorrow morning, conquer the world, make the week the best week you've ever had. And please, please, please stay safe. I hope that the storm didn't ruin your weekend too badly. I hope you stayed safe, you stayed warm, and you stayed dry. Until next week, people, I'm out of here. Peace.